Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, y'all. I'm Bud Elliott, and this is Cover 3 College Football Summer School. We've done our research on the teams, and now we're bringing on the top team experts from the 24/7 Sports Network to help us fill in the blanks. Please follow us on Twitter at Cover 3 Podcast. That's Cover 3 Podcast. And leave us a five-star review on Apple and Spotify. All right. Class is in session. Hey guys, Bud Elliott here of the Cover 3 College Ball Podcast. Really appreciate you joining us. And this is another edition of our summer school series where we take my notes and we ask an expert from the 24/7 Sports Network about kind of where we're right, where we're wrong, what we're expecting about these teams. And today we're going to talk a little Mississippi State Bulldogs. Had another strong year under Mike Leach. And to help us out, we're going to bring on Robbie Falk of Mississippi State 24/7 Sports. Robbie, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, bud. Good to be here.
Pretty good mood in Starkville, I would think, coming off the year they had and all they bring back this year.
You would think so, but it's kind of apathy. Is that the word? I mean,
oh, man.
I know. Isn't it strange? I mean, at a place like Mississippi State where it's, people have kind of grown accustomed to, you know, if you can get to a bowl game, you can beat Ole Miss, you're in good shape. And the problem is they're not beating Ole Miss. They are getting to bowl games, but it's kind of, you know, by default. I mean, everybody's getting to a bowl game now. And just the way that the season ended last year, I think left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. You had kind of a strong close until you get to the Egg Bowl. You know, it's a rainy night in Starkville. You drop a couple of touchdowns, and you end up losing that ball game with a chance to go to a significantly better bowl if you win. And then you go and you play Texas Tech in Memphis, and you just fall flat on your face. You had a lot of guys out with COVID. You had Charles Cross and Martin Emerson sitting out for the NFL draft, and it was just not a good performance. And I think just those last two ball games really put a bad taste in the mouths of fans, when in reality it was a big step forward, I thought, for Mississippi State in year two under Mike Leach. You go from scoring, you know, 20 points a game or whatever he did in year one, and at times not able to really move the football like they wanted to really being a consistent offense and seeing a lot of growth from Will Rogers in year two. So I think there should be more excitement about this team going into this season, because – in all reality, you're returning the bulk of this offense. You're returning a lot of big pieces on defense. And I feel like Mike Leach gets better and better as he kind of moves along, especially in year three when he has his system implemented for three seasons.
No doubt about it. You mentioned that offense. Opponent adjusted, they were 28th nationally. I take out the bowl game numbers in my own numbers, because I feel like nowadays bowl games are more a little more noise than they are signal. But Will Rogers, very strong year last year. You get most of the skill position guys back. You do lose Mekhi Polk, Malik Heath at receiver. But you get, they throw the ball to Marks an absolute ton. You get Wally, you get, you know, John, they throw the ball to Johnson a good bit as well. Passing game wise, I think this sets up fine, but I do have some questions about the offensive line. You know, losing Charles Cross, losing Sharp, losing Scott Lashley. How worried are you about what they have up front?
Well, they actually got Sharp back for a 6-year.
They did? Okay.
Yes. So that was a huge piece to return at the center. But you're missing your two tackles, and that's a major concern. You're missing a guy that's going to be picked in the first round of the NFL draft, and Charles Cross, probably one of, if not the best left tackles you've ever had, especially in the passing game. So you know you're probably not going to be better at that position, but you don't have to be better than Charles Cross there. You just have to be adequate. You just have to be have somebody come in there and not have Will Rogers running for his life. And at right tackle, they didn't have a great season from Scott Lashley. So you need somebody to be a little bit better than what he was last year. And there are some pieces there. They brought in the number one tackle in JUCO and Percy Lewis. They have a couple of other pieces that I feel like could slide in there. Cam Jones is an experienced lineman that they could play at right tackle if they needed to, but he's probably better at guard. You'd like to keep him at guard. So there's really a lot of question marks there, and I don't know if a whole lot got answered in the spring because they were moving a lot of guys around. So, you know, that'll be something that's going to have to be settled in the fall, but it has to be settled in the fall. You can't go into that first game with a ton of question marks at tackle, especially in an offense that's going to pass the ball 50-plus times a game.
No doubt about it. Are you worried at all about receiver with Polk and Heath leaving? Or you just trust Mike Leach is going to get guys catch ball?
Yeah. I feel like they're going to have some guys step up there. I mean, that's kind of what this offense is. It just kind of filters in all these receivers. And, you know, it is a concern who's going to replace 105 catches or whatever Makai Polk had. I mean, that's a lot of catches that I don't know if one person can make up.
And 140 targets. I mean,
yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, he was super reliable too, and he was your red zone threat. He was a guy that could win one-on-one battles down the field. He could shield off somebody in the end zone and have a 10-yard catch, you know, at the pylon. So somebody's going to have to step up and do that. I think Ra-Ra Thomas could make a big jump this year. He showed a lot of things as a true freshman last year, had a pretty good spring. He was kind of a surprise. You know, he was a South Carolina commit for a while, and they had the coaching change, and he steps out of his recruiting for a little bit, and Mississippi State was able to snag him late. I think he could have a big season. And I think, you know, Tulu Griffin's another player that could make a big jump this year. I don't think he was getting the targets that he needs. Caleb Ducking is a guy that I think could emerge as a guy to replace Malik Heath possibly. So there's some options there. Rufus Harvey took a step, I thought, in spring, a guy that's been injured a lot and hasn't got a chance to get in there. He's not a big receiver, but he plays big. He can win one-on-one battles, has really good hands. There's some options there. Jaden Wally, I didn't think had the season that he wanted to last year as a sophomore after having that big freshman year. So I think there's some players that could definitely step in. But, again, some more question marks there. There's a lot of guys that haven't had those opportunities, a lot like the tackles that you're going to see out there.
For sure. Defensively, you got to like what you have coming back. Top four defensive linemen in terms of snap count, looks like four of the top five, or six of the top seven linebackers return as well. This should be a pretty loaded front seven, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think the front seven should be pretty good. And you have some questions in the back end. And you still have a couple questions at linebacker, but you return enough production there, you feel pretty good about it. I think the big piece that Mississippi State's adding that they didn't have last year was Jordan Davis, who was going to be their best rusher at end, and he went down with a torn ACL before the season. So you get him back, you add him into the mix of what you're returning, and I really like this group. He didn't play in the spring, but he's going to be ready for fall, and I think he adds a ton to what they got returning. Nathan Pickering is back. Jaden Crumity is back. You have Cam Young in the middle that's played a lot of snaps. That's going to be really good. DeMonte Russell, who took a big step last year. So the defensive line is getting back to more of that traditional Mississippi State front that has been so good in years past. You know, the guys that have come out there. I think you're going to see a couple more NFL guys in this group too. I think they're getting back to that. I thought the linebacking crew really surprised me last year. I thought they were really good with Buki Watson, and Jet Johnson was a big surprise. He's returning. And then you're adding in a couple of guys that didn't play much last year. You lost Aaron Brule, which I thought was a guy that could really help you from a depth perspective. He goes to Michigan State. But the front seven as a whole looks really good.
Back end, I've always been a Martin Emerson guy. You know, he was up here in the panhandle of Florida where I am, and I thought he was I wasn't working for 24/7 Sports at the time, but I thought – you know, when I saw him, I was like, this kid's good. And like, I was, you know, at a different network at the time. He ended up being a great, great get for Mississippi State, and ended up being, he'll probably get drafted, right? I would think.
Yeah. He's getting some second, third, fourth round grades. I would expect him to go off the board probably on Friday.
Nice. And then obviously you lose Fred Peters as well. Do you think this is a significant downgraded unit, or just is the goal kind of hold sir? What are you feeling here?
Yeah, it's going to be a wait and see for me. I mean, I don't know if they're going to have anybody like Martin Emerson out there. Emmanuel Forbes, I think, is going to be really good. He's been good the last 2 years. But, you know, Emerson was top five graded cornerback in the SEC in coverage the last couple of years. So he is going up against some of the best wide receivers. He's going up against the best, whoever the best is in the SEC every game, and he's held his own. You know, he had a good showing against Georgia a couple of years ago. The freaks that they have out there, he's had some good showings against Alabama. So that's a huge guy to replace. But I thought DeCamrion Richardson took a huge step in the spring. Really athletic kid from Louisiana. A kid that Joe Moorhead, when he was here, they thought they got a steal. And we actually gave him a 4-star rating late in the process. And he was kind of a late bloomer. Just a really freakish athlete that I think could really blossom into a good cornerback. And then you go out and you go get Marcus Banks from Alabama, who should add some good depth for him. And you go out and get DeCarlus Nicholson, who was one of the top rated defensive backs in JUCO last year. But he's a guy that was playing quarterback a couple of years ago. This is a new position and very raw player. So you're talking about some guys that don't have a lot of reps. Marcus Banks didn't have a ton of reps at Alabama. DeCamrion Richardson just got on the field last year. Cornerback's going to be a big question mark. And then at the safety position, there's some questions there as well. But I thought Jackie Matthews was a good add from West Virginia, who's going to help them back there. And then you have several guys returning that are veterans that should be experienced. You just got to have the athletes back there to compete on a down-to-down basis with some of the best in the SEC.
We're talking to Robbie Falk, our Mississippi State 24/7 sports expert here on the Cover Three Podcast Summer School Series. I'm going to get you out of here on this one. Field goal and punting last year was really a problem. They were actually 124th in terms of field goal available points, which is not a great – I mean, I know Mississippi State don't kick a ton of field goals, but they still kick some. And that's a problem when you're 124th. And then punting, punt efficiency was also bottom 15 in the country. Is that are they doing something different here, bringing in some different guys, or are they trying, having tryouts? What are they looking at?
Oh yeah, Mike Leach was adamant in upgrading that spot. He moved his running backs coach to special teams coach Eric Melee, and he also got a new kicker and a new punter, and went out and got some guys to walk on as well. But he spent scholarships on kickers and punters, and in the middle of the season last year, he had a tryout and publicly called out the kicking situation. It was that bad. I mean, in defense of that unit, Brandon Ruiz was supposed to be the guy, and he was dealing with injuries all year, and so that was a significant blow to them. But yes, kicking cost them the Arkansas game, quite possibly cost them the Memphis game, hurt them in the LSU game. There was two or three games that it cost them that they could have won those ball games. So
they were 2 of 10 on field goals from 40 to 49 yards.
Very bad. And they
I'm not trying to rag on the kids, but that does lose you games.
I mean, they absolutely lost the game against Arkansas because of kicking. They missed like a 25-yard field goal. They missed another field goal with a chance to tie the game. So, yeah, it was bad. But they went out and got Massimo Biscardi from Coastal Carolina, who should be really good for them. Got a couple of transfers in that are walking on. And then George Georgiopoulos, I think is how you say his name, from UMass, who has some really good numbers at UMass.
And UMass punts all the time.
So. Yeah, so go get the people that aren't doing anything offensively and go check out their punting numbers and see. So, yeah, and they return a guy, Archer Trafford, who I thought was solid last year when he got an opportunity, but it should be an upgrade in special teams this year, which State desperately needs, because it really did cost them two or three ball games, which is the difference in playing in Memphis and playing in Florida somewhere.
No doubt. He dropped – I just looked it up. The kid dropped just over 30% of his punts inside the 20. So that is an improvement.
Yeah. I mean, it can't get much worse than the situation they had in special teams last year. It's almost impossible.
Absent being Nebraska's punting, that was they're 130 out of 130 with a bullet. Hey, Robbie, I really enjoyed this as always. We'll have to have you back on Cover 3 in the fall to do a little final preview of Mississippi State. Everybody, please check out Mississippi State 24/7 Sports. Those guys do a great job as Mississippi State again tries to fight and claw in the SEC West. It is it's never easy.
No, it's not. I appreciate you, bud. We're just trying to make it through the spring here, a tough baseball season. These fans love baseball, and it's tough right now. And then we're going to have the dog days of summer. Could get hot in Mississippi.
No doubt about it.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hey guys, welcome back into the Cover 3 podcast. I'm Bud Elliott, and this is Summer School, where we take our experts from the 24/7 Sports Network and go over a team. And today, we're pleased to be joined by David Johnson of Inside the Rebels, covering all things Ole Miss. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Bud. Glad to be on.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So last year, a tremendous season for Ole Miss, top 15 level team on the power ratings, 10-3 in the record book, went to the Sugar Bowl. Things seem to be going really well for Lane Kiffin there overall.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the biggest question mark after that season pulled in with the loss to Baylor in the Sugar Bowl was, you know, could they restock the coverage through the transfer portal? And, man, did they ever. You know, Lane Kiffin with the number one class in the country as far as transfer portals go. And, you know, we got a good glimpse of those guys over the last month or so during spring practice, and some really, really good pickups for Lane. Some that, you know, I guess the verdict is still out, so to speak, on what kind of impact they're going to make. But overall, I think a really good class, and I think Ole Miss has positioned itself, as long as they can iron out a few wrinkles over the offseason, to have a similar performance this fall.
Let's start with quarterback, obviously. We're recording this before the NFL draft. It'll actually air after the NFL draft, but they are losing Matt Corral to the draft. You have Jackson Dart, the electric transfer from USC, and you have Luke Altmyer, who I know a lot of coaches were very high on as a recruit. We got to see a little glimpse of him in the Sugar Bowl. Is there, first of all, from reading your reporting, it doesn't seem like Dart has totally locked this thing down, regardless of who wins. Is there any chance that this is not a drop-off in performance?
No, there's no chance at all. Neither Luke Altmyer or Jackson Dart is Matt Corral, and I don't think anybody should really expect either one of them to be. Now, does that translate into them not winning as many games this fall? Not necessarily, but you brought up one thing where Jackson Dart may, you know, not be the guy right now that everybody in Oxford was hoping he would be in January when his recruitment was going on. He does have a tremendously high ceiling. He's got a great arm. You know, Lane said after the growth on Saturday that, you know, and it was not a good day for Jackson Dart. You know, he threw a pick six. He threw another interception. He finished 11 for 30. That he thought Jackson was on the field trying to win the job, whereas he really needs to kind of play in the system a little bit. And he's been on campus, what, 3 months now? And Luke Altmyer's got a year and 3 months head start on him. And Luke is more comfortable in the system. I think he knows more of what Lane expects from the quarterback position. And I think it's up to Jackson Dart between now and fall camp to grasp those things and ascend to the level of winning the starting job. If not, Luke Altmyer, he's not shabby himself, a former four-star recruit. Luke's ready to grasp this job if Jackson doesn't come on between now and September the 3rd when they open the season against Troy.
At the running back spot, they do lose Ely. They lose Connor and Parrish. But I feel like if you bring in Evans and Bentley from TCU and SMU respectively, you got to be feeling pretty good there. I want to ask you about receiver, where I guess I have more questions, yeah. Unless I'm wrong about running back. I assume running backs will be just fine.
No, running backs are, my take from spring, I think Ole Miss can have a better group of running backs than they had last year. Zach Evans, Ulysses Bentley, a kid named Kentrell Bullock, who has just been a reserve here throughout his time at Ole Miss. He can run the ball. And then they signed a kid from Alabama, true freshman, here early, Quinshon Judkins. And let me tell you, Quinshon will make some level of contributions in the backfield this fall. But, I think he's better than what his four-star rating was coming out of high school. I mean, I'm telling you, this kid can play. So the Rebels are loaded in the backfield. I think the production is going to be there as well behind a really good O-line.
No doubt about it. All right. That is a name that we'll put down here in the book. So at receiver, replacing Drummond, replacing Sanders, replacing Pearson, Watkins from Louisville comes in. Trigg obviously comes in from USC. I assume both those guys are coming in to start. Do you see a drop-off here? Is there anybody from the existing roster that we should know about who you would project to step up and take a starting spot?
Yeah, I mean, you have Jonathan Mingo coming back. And Mingo is, if you want to compare him to somebody, you could maybe call him A.J. Brown light. He's got those physical characteristics that A.J. Brown has. He was kind of hindered by injuries last year. He was hurt Saturday, did not play in the spring game. And I would start there talking with him and talking about wide receivers. Michael Trigg is a huge upgrade for Ole Miss. Back in January when Trigg and Dart both came from USC, they were searching for a home. It was more like Ole Miss was really recruiting Jackson Dart and coming with him. Whereas, it's kind of ended up being spring. Trigg was the huge get. And, Dart is out there battling for the quarterback's job. But those two guys are going to be special. Jordan Watkins, I think, could certainly end up starting at the slot. He is more than a serviceable receiver, as he proved in Louisville. But, Ole Miss is not through recruiting wide receivers through the transfer portal. They're after several other guys. So this wide receiver core, when we get into fall camp in August, it's going to look different than what it looked like this spring. There are going to be two, maybe even three bodies in that room. And, understand where their weakness may be on the offensive side of the ball. They're trying to remedy it right now.
For sure. I feel like the offensive line has a chance to be potentially a lot better with the Western Kentucky transfer and just some of these young guys growing up. When I watched them last year, David, I feel like they had to get Corral involved in the run game a lot when teams played this drop eight stuff on them. But also at times, like the movement in the run game wasn't always as good as maybe they had hoped. Am I wrong to think their offensive line could be more physical and better?
Oh, I think you're exactly the first five. First five are very talented. I would say out of that group, four of the five of them probably have future NFL careers. I think Jeremy James, a left tackle, could surprise a lot of people and be a high-round draft pick after this season. He's that good. You mentioned Mason Brooks coming from Western Kentucky. Look, the guy is a bulldozer, road grader, very smart kid. He's going to play right tackle this year. And they're pretty strong in the interior with the first five. The question with the O-line is, can they stay healthy? Can they stay away from having to get into a lot of unproven depth right now, just to be honest with you? They've got a lot of good, young, kids behind those front five, but are they really going to get out there and play SEC football? That's the question right now with the O-line.
No doubt about it. I assume we're not going to see a whole lot of schematic differences in the offense with the change from Levy to Charlie Weiss Jr., just because it's still kind of Lane's offense, right?
Yeah, it's Lane's offense. I think what you are going to see are a whole bunch of new wrinkles and twists, you know, different things that they are doing. First, we didn't get to see a lot of that in the spring, obviously, with the spring game and practices in front of the media. They kind of kept things vanilla a little bit. But, you know, talking to some of the players on the team, there are going to be some wrinkles in this offense, some new things that Charlie kind of brought in with him. So, you know, we're excited to see it. But you're right about one thing. It's Lane Kiffin's offense. They're going to go 100 miles per hour. They're going to try to snap the ball 900 times a ball game. And we'll see what happens, but it's going to be fun.
No doubt about it. Defensively, I have a lot of questions about this team. So obviously they lose the DC Durkin to Texas A&M, but you have Partridge and Crum as co-DCs. I thought last year's defense was pretty effective and unique. I mean, they were top 35 power rated, you know, opponent adjusted. Excellent, really excellent pass defense, a horrendous run defense, but I was almost like by design, I felt like watching them just based on how they played some of the stuff. They were okay giving up the run, and then they're like, all right, we'll just try to stop you in the red zone. They almost never allowed explosive plays. It was effective. I schematically and just strategy-wise, are you expecting a similar strategy from the new DCs?
Yeah, with a little bit more gambling.
Okay.
You know, we saw a little bit of that from Chris Partridge during our viewings this spring where, you know, Chris is he's not afraid to take a chance. And I think you're going to see Ole Miss do that this fall. They remedied their depth issues on the defensive line. I mean, you know, some big-time transfers coming in here. J.J. Pegues from Auburn. You know, they're lining Pegues up at nose tackle. Now, he's capable enough. He can play a three-tech or a four-eye if he has to. And, I mean, him in there and tackle create a whole new line of a pass rush for Ole Miss. They're pressuring the quarterback from the gut this year. At least that's what we saw in the spring. And, you know, they've got 8, 9, maybe even 10 guys that they can play at rotation. So losing a Sam Williams is a big thing. But, you know, when you look out there on the edge and there's Cedric Johnson, who had 1.5 sacks last year himself, he's back. He's bigger. He's faster. He's stronger. He's smarter. I think Ole Miss is going to look like a different defense this year. The secondary is fine. I mean, they're solid and deep in the secondary. The only question mark right now is linebacker. They lost some good linebackers last year. Mark Robinson, Chance Campbell, both those guys are gone. So you got to replace those guys. Campbell was their lead tackler. I think that's another area that you're going to see Ole Miss between now and July really hit the portal on, is trying to bring in another linebacker, maybe even two guys, depending on how wide receiver numbers shake out and all that, to kind of shore up the final piece of this defense. But what I see this year from Ole Miss, a lot of the same you saw last year, but with a little more edge to it. I think they're going to blitz more. They're going to take chances. They're going to try to disrupt the offense.
Wow, that's going to be, you know, quite the departure from what we saw last year when they were really, sort of almost more Arkansas style, if you will. Just kind of, it was a lot of drop eight stuff and see what happens when you get into the red zone. Circling back to the D line there, the one that I can certainly buy and obviously I believe in a lot of the guys that Ole Miss has brought in. I do wonder if, you know, nationally we talk about a lot of these teams, you know, Michigan losing Hutchinson and Georgia losing all these guys. Sam Williams was just so productive last year. I mean, he had triple the tackles for loss of the rest of the defensive line returning combined. Like I feel like that's a lot to ask those guys to make up for his production. I know they'll try to do it with depth and as a team, but that probably plays into a lot to what you're saying, David, as far as having to, you know, either wanting to blitz more or having to blitz more if you don't have him, you know, creating a pressure rate at such an absurd number.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, Sam will be missed. There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you, Cedric Johnson is a kid that he has the body. And, I mean, he's a little bit of a proven commodity, again, with 6.5 sacks last season. You know, I think Partridge is itching to turn Sed loose on that defensive end at the defensive end position and let him roll. So I don't know. Yeah, you may get less production from that spot, I guess, simply because Sam isn't there. But you may not. I mean, there are enough guys that they can play across that defensive line that, I mean, I tell you, I think this Ole Miss coaching staff believe that area is probably one of the strongest, if not the strongest on the team, with the guys that's they really brought sad. In and improvement of other players.
That's really saying something, David. That is awesome, man. Well, hey, we really appreciate your appearance here on Summer School for the Cover 3 podcast, and we'll be sure to have you on again come fall.
All right, bud. Thanks for having me on.
All right, David, thanks so much, man. All right, that's the bell. Cover 3 College Football Summer School is over for today, but don't worry. We'll be back soon with even more episodes filling you in on the top teams in college football. Please give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on YouTube and on Twitter at Cover 3 Podcast, and we'll see y'all soon.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.